Ascension Sunday. No event in all of Scripture is this simultaneously sad and wonderful. As Luke tells it at the beginning of Acts, the risen Jesus is speaking with the disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And while we have the benefit of hindsight, and we know how the story goes, we know what's coming, the disciples are not prepared for what's about to happen. They're wondering if this is going to be it. Is this going to be the crescendo, that moment in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection comes to a culmination, and he marches right back into the palace and stands up to Pilate and says, "I'm back." Is this going to be the moment, they ask? Will Jesus finally confront the slack-jawed authorities and rulers of his day? Will he invite the disciples to attend him on this victory tour? They ask Jesus, "So, is this it, Lord? Is this the part where you finally knock off all the bad guys and restore the kingdom of Israel?" And Jesus, in a very nice, pastoral way, tells them, "No." As Jesus is speaking, he begins rising into the air. A cloud engulfs him, and when it vanishes, he's gone. In vain, the disciples search the horizon and the skies. It takes two men in white robes appearing beside them to redirect their attention. "Gentlemen of Galilee, why do you look up into the heavens? This Jesus will return in the same way he's left you." Now, there's a sadness about the ascension. It has a way of reminding us of the deaths of our own loved ones. In every instance, the strangeness of death bewildered us. Even if they died expectedly after a long illness, they were just here. They were just here with us. They were just a moment ago in the world, conscious, speaking, breathing, present. But now they are not in the world. Their last words have vanished. Where did they go? How did this happen? And we're diminished too because they take parts of us with them that will never come back. My friend James, who just lost his best friend of 48 years, told me over the phone, "Mac, I thought that it would help me to bring Joe's ashes back home. But it didn't help after the funeral. He's still gone." From this perspective, the story of the ascension could share a title with the late Paul Kalanithi's book, When Breath Becomes Air. While the ascension is a sad departure in a sense, in another profound sense, though, the ascension is almost too wonderful to describe. Jesus' last words leave them waiting for God to be present to them in a new way. "You will receive power from the Holy Spirit when it comes upon you." It should remind us of another time. In the Gospel according to John, when Jesus says, "The one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." Now, this day had to come. Otherwise, the fullness and the immeasurable power of God would remain located in one person, Jesus. What we celebrate today, this Ascension Sunday, is the commencement of Jesus' prophecy of our doing even greater works, of the fullness and immeasurable power being shared with and through us. Today, Paul tells the Ephesians and us that this power is one of immeasurable greatness, and it is so because it is the power of resurrection from the dead. Have we ever considered this? Has this really sunk into all our mind and all our heart and all our soul and all our strength? that the power of God, the power that swept over the formless void, the power that separated light from darkness, the power that raised up the sun and the moon and the stars, the power that raised up creepy, crawly things, the power that just for fun created Aurora Borealis and the Gulf Stream and the undulatus asperitus clouds. You might have to Google those. And synchronous fireflies. The power that breathed life into us, the power that in the secret depths of the tomb swept over into a bruised and scarred three-day dead Jesus and raised him up forever, is the same power promised to us today. The appropriate response to Ascension Sunday would be whatever we do if we're sitting for the reading of a will and we hear that we are the beneficiaries of a fortune so vast and sprawling we can't yet imagine how to put it to good use. The ascension makes way for this shocking inheritance, the power to raise the dead, bequeathed to those who believe. Several years ago, the brilliant author Marilyn Robinson of Gilead fame sat for an interview at Duke University for a large audience, Page Auditorium. At one point, the interviewer asked, "What can the mainline church do to be taken seriously again?" Mind you, this was about 8 years ago, well before the pandemic and several other apocalypses had revealed more about American churches and the human condition than most of us would like to know. Without hesitating or ruminating, Robinson replied, "They'll be taken seriously when they stop acting like the punchline to a joke." She did not elaborate. But I get the strong sense that one of the world's greatest writers believes a lot of churches have squandered a staggering inheritance. I do not recall this story as a critique of our congregation. Let me be clear. Far from it. Rather, I recall this story precisely because I do not, and I have never felt, that I'm pastoring a church that fits profile of Robinson's response. And on this second to last Sunday before my summer sabbatical, and for this, what will hopefully be, for once and all time, the last pre-recorded sermon I ever do in an empty sanctuary, I want to tell you this in a plain way. I believe that you, First Baptist Church of Asheville, are a resurrection church. You cut across the grain of what people have come to expect from so many churches and so many institutions, period. I've tried to say this in direct ways and indirect ways, and if you've been paying attention by now, you might be tired of me trying to get this message across. But I do want to step into the spirit and perhaps the shoes of Paul as he begins his text to us today, saying, "Thank you. I give thanks to God in my prayers for you when I remember you." But I want to say it in as plain a sense as I know how. First Baptist Church of Asheville, you are a resurrection church. You are a resurrection-powered church, because here I feel it. Even in our long separation, I've felt it. Most recently, I've felt it in a powerful way during the two Easter sunrise services earlier this spring. I felt it in the two children standing in the front row of the sacred garden, looking up at me and my colleagues as we led this rowdy bunch of early risers to receive the good news of resurrection. I felt it in our gutsy missions to focus on and feed and care for the most vulnerable people in our congregation and community. And I've even felt it in this near empty sanctuary where a small group gathers each Thursday, preaching and singing into cameras, and often wondering just how much of our liturgy lands where we hope it will. Now I want to know if you feel it. The immeasurable power of God inspiring us and priming us for resurrection again and again. I believe God's resurrection power is poured out here in very unique ways. How else can we explain a congregation that has been working with little fanfare to embrace and feed and house and teach and share and surprise and nourish and cherish our neighbors and one another? How else can we explain a congregation that has stuck with each other through the hardest knocks a church can take in our day? How else can we explain the surge of dreams and holy longings that we continue to share? How else can we explain how we're poised to live into and be the kind of church where an indwelling power is able to lift up our hearts even in the midst of deep grief? A grief with which we've become so well acquainted. What other explanation can there be for all of this than resurrection? That's the good news of Ascension Sunday. Yes, Jesus has bodily departed from us, but he has made of us extensions of his head. Now we are his body in the world. Jesus has receded into eternity, into eternal time, but has made of us his presence in the world, his actors, not only his hands and feet, but his whole body, moving through time, doing what he's called us to do, doing what he did in even greater ways than he had done. You get to be part of this. This power is shared with you. When you ever get a touch of it, it's like holding on to a lightning bolt. And I believe God's resurrection power is waiting to energize us again next Sunday. We will gather in person, as many as are able. And we, like the disciples, will set about waiting for Jesus' promise to come true. Think of that. The Ascension Sunday marks a time where we become receptacles for fire. So, beloved, hear this good news and wait with bated breath to become all flame.